Well, good morning. It is so good to be back with you.
It's always a joy and an honor to stand behind this sacred desk and share a word from the Lord. And
thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it's all about, and that's what I'm going to be ministering about, in essence, is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of the Word of God. And the title of today's message is Let Freedom Ring. Let Freedom Ring. The backdrop to that title is really Bridging the Gap, and I shared that message this past Friday night. By the way, if you're ever around on Friday evenings and you're not going to be here on Sunday mornings, or you want to come out and for an inspirational time of worship, join us on Friday evenings in the chapel at 6:35. It's an hour-long contemporary service. We enjoy and have a great time. The Glow Ministry is going to start dancing within that service, and we just thank God for that ministry. Actually, just a quick story. They started maybe a month or two ago. We had prayer after the one of the Friday night services, and Tulia had this vision, this dream on her heart, and all of a sudden Whitney appears with the gifts and graces to dance. And the two have really just gelled and married, and voila, you saw the first expression of that dance ministry. And to add more good news, they both joined the church this past Friday night. So we celebrate their coming into the life of the church. Praise God for Tulia and Whitney, our two newest members. So we thank God for them. Friends, let me just share a brief opening with you. I came across this funny story. I thought that it was great to get things started this morning. A local donut shop was robbed during the great graveyard shift. The robber came in and says, "Hey, give me all of your jelly glazed donuts." And this female clerk, who was all alone, started shaking and crying and just started shuffling jelly glazed donuts in the bag. Quickly, he ran out of the door, and she called 911, and there she is on the ground, frantic, panic, and just crying. And the cop walked in, and he says, the cash register is okay, and he didn't take anything out of your pocketbook. What did he take? And she says, six jelly glazed donuts. And he says, like those right there? She says, yes. He says, I'll take one. Y'all will catch it before you get home. my point is, sometimes our selfish appetites of greed blinds us and causes us to overlook others who have genuine needs. Did you catch that? Sometimes we can be so driven in a manner of what we want that we overlook the genuine needs of others. And so today I'm going to be talking about, once again, let freedom ring. How do we let freedom ring? How do we erase the irony, and with what do we replace this irony? Let freedom ring. Before I go any further, if you will bring up the scriptures, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the preached word. If you can bring up the text, listen carefully to these words. It says, he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Verse 20. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Let us pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are my rock and my radical redeemer. Take my little and make it much. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, speaking again, going further as it relates to this whole notion of the irony, tomorrow is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday observance, and the church is going to be closed. And we remember Dr. King along a long list of items. First of all, he was a drum major for social justice and equality. Secondly, at age 26, he led the Montgomery bus boycott. He also delivered and became known for his famous I Have a Dream speech. And he gave his life, in essence, for fighting for civil rights and freedom. It was King who once said, injustice anywhere is a threat against justice everywhere. Very profound. King understood something. King understood that America is only as good as her promise. He was challenged by, however, a great irony. And here's the irony. How could freedom ring for all of America if there's a crack in America's Liberty Bell? Think about that. How can freedom ring for everyone if there's a crack in America's Liberty Bell? A similar irony is discovered in the book that we're reading churchwide now, The Hole in Our Gospel. And Richard Stearns, in chapter 3, he identifies himself as the poster boy of a successful Christian life. He went to church every Sunday, had a great marriage, 5 attractive boys. He had all of the bells and whistles within his job, went to work and had a big old Bible on his desks. He was just the poster child for Christianity. But something within his life was strangely missing. And he tells his testimony. He shares his testimony through the eyes or through the life of the rich young ruler that's found in Mark chapter 10. He tells the story of how the rich young ruler one day approached Jesus and said, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus began to share with him the Ten Commandments. And he says, "Oh, I've been doing that since I was a little boy." And then Jesus checked him and he says, "Well, there is one thing that you lack." And he says, "Well, what's that?" He says, "Go sell all you possess and give the profit to the poor and then come follow me," since you're all that in a bag of chips. And the Bible says that he turned and he walked away sad, sorrowful. He turned and he walked away sad and sorrowful. And I want you to keep that image in your mind of him turning and walking away. And when you examine, why did he walk away? Why did he leave the Lord? What hindered him from following Jesus? It was material wealth and riches. Things that had no eternal value, no eternal significance. He turned from being a follower and he walked away from Jesus, sorrowful and sad. And friends, when I read that story in chapter 3, it got me to thinking about two groups that are in the church today, even in the 21st century. The first group represents being a fan of Jesus. Easy to be a fan of Jesus. And the second group represents being a follower of Jesus. Fans love to stand on the outside where it's just convenient, and they love looking in and saying what you did right and proving what you did wrong. They love cheering for you, but they are not going to work with you. Fans love to critique from the chair, eating popcorn and drinking a soda pop, but they are not involved in the work and the mission of ministry. But a follower will roll up his sleeves and get involved and get his fingernails dirty because he is interested. He's invested. He's sold out for that cause. And so, you know, I have to ask you this morning, are you a fan of Jesus? Are you a follower of Jesus? Think about it. Are you a fan standing on the outside, looking in the church, never signing up, never volunteering, never serving, but only benefiting? Only receiving, not giving anything. The story was told of a football coach who went to high school football games, and he would stand in the stands and just shout, "Bad call, ref, bad call." Make negative comments about the kids. "You lazy such and such." And it dawned on him that every Saturday morning, nothing changed. Finally, an opening appeared. There was an opening on the team, and he signed up to join the team. And he began to serve Gatorade, and he learned the child's names, learned the coach's name, and began to become a force within that team. He learned the difference that when I'm a fan, nothing changes. But when I'm a follower, I become transformed. And my transformation helps somebody else along the way. Think about it, church. Are you a fan of Jesus? Are you a fan of the church? Are you a sold-out follower of Jesus? Can I take you to the text now? See, there's a gap somewhere. And I think whenever you and I refuse to relinquish, surrender, and control, this gap gets wider and wider and wider. Goes back to the crack in the Liberty Bell. The crack grows and then it becomes a contradiction within our Christian faith. And so once again, how do we fill the gap? How do we bridge this gap? How can we truly let freedom ring for all? And so that's what I want to talk about today. If you can now go back to the text, Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, can we bring that back up? It's a powerful image. Jesus is in the temple, and he's returned to Nazareth, his hometown. And that scroll is handed to Jesus. And Jesus takes the scroll, and he unrolls the scroll. Now, what he is actually reading is Isaiah 61. In essence, it is the gospel of the kingdom of God. And there are five tenets that he addresses in this reading of the scroll and sharing of the scroll. The first is this: good news will be preached to the poor. Secondly, there will be proclamation of freedom for those for the prisoners. Thirdly, there's going to be recovery of sight for the blind. Fourthly, there's the releasing of those who are oppressed. And lastly, there's the proclamation of the year of the Lord's favor. And then Jesus sits back down and says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. You know what Jesus was saying? In essence, he was saying the same thing that he uttered on the cross. It is finished. It's completed. And because it's completed, we can now pick up the gospel. Not only pick it up, but share the gospel. And that brings me to this question. David, what is the gospel? So glad you asked. What is the gospel? I'm glad you asked. The gospel, according to Romans 1 and 16, is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. But I think that there's another irony as it relates to how we understand the gospel. A lot of us understand the gospel as something that we only preach from the Bible. But I got news for you. If the gospel that you preach does not bring good news to the poor, if the gospel that you preach does not proclaim freedom for prisoners, if the gospel that you preach does not administer sight for the blind, if the gospel that you preach does not release those who are oppressed, and if the gospel does not proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, I got a word for you. It ain't the gospel. Amen, church? In other words, the gospel is not just a spoken word. It's not just empty proclamation. But the gospel, in essence, is demonstration of God's kingdom, of God's love, of God's justice. You remember in the beginning when God stepped out on the dark and there was this great void, and God spoke and he said, let there be light. And then what accompanied his language and his spoken word, the lights came on. You see what I'm saying? In other words, the gospel is incomplete if it does not include your action. If the gospel is not expressed and demonstrated through what Whitney did up here when she broke open her heart and she danced for the Lord. It's not just a spoken word, it's a lived word. It's not just lip service, it's lifestyle. We're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, what else can the gospel do? Well, the gospel saves souls. Romans 1:16, it is the power of God unto salvation. Secondly, it fulfills calling. It fulfills our calling. Thirdly, it reveals righteousness that comes through faith. So many of us, we think that we have to be perfect in order to receive the gospel and be saved and join the church. And that's not true. We receive a righteousness that comes through faith. And the righteousness that we receive, it's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness. We learn that through the preached word. Fourthly, the gospel provides direction. We understand that we can't make it without Jesus. How many of you realize we wouldn't have the gospel were it not for Jesus? Fifthly, it teaches us the truth of God's kingdom. Next, it builds faith. Next, it also changes our lives. It improves our character. It calms our fears, comforts our hurts, instills in our heart hope. And lastly, it prepares us for eternal life. It prepares us for eternal life. The question this morning is, are you preaching the gospel through your lives? Are you letting it ring out through your day-to-day functions? You're going out, you're coming in, as you're going into the workplace, are you demonstrating the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Listen to this story as I hasten to a close. In Kansas, a city pharmacist was charged with diluting cancer treatment drugs to make a profit. After pleading guilty, the pharmacist was sentenced to 30 years in prison. The judge told the man, "Your crimes are a shock to the civilized conscience." He was ordered to pay $10.4 million in restitution and a $25,000 fine. In his plea agreement, it was discovered that he affected over 4,200 patients. This is a true story. This man, in essence, held life-saving power in his hands, and for the sake of greed and personal gain, diluted it to the point where it could not help people. The question is, do we do the same with the gospel? That God has entrusted us with a power, a word, a resource that comes from the kingdom of God, and are we diluting it with our class, our egos, our status? Are we diluting it because of this gaping gap that comes because we won't relinquish our control to God? Are we diluting it when we refuse to share the good news, when we're feeding the homeless and in the workplace, in the city, in the field, wherever you find yourself? Are we diluting the word of God because of greed? That's what Richard Stearns really talks about, surrendering. There's a quote that I love to share, and it is this: we are only as good as our ability to surrender. In closing and in transition to this video, I want to ask you, how surrendered are you this morning to allow the good news of the gospel to ring from your hearts, your minds, and your souls? How surrendered are you for Christ this morning? Because when you surrender, God steps in, and what becomes little comes much. Enjoy this video. It's in honor of Dr. King, but it also drives the point home further of the importance of letting your light so shine in such a way that man may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Enjoy the clip.
As I stand here and look out upon the thousands of Negro faces, thousands of white faces intermingled like the waters of a river, I see only one face. That is the face of the future.
There may be someone today who wants to surrender. Right now, as you're sitting in the sanctuary, you now have an opportunity. You can turn, shake a few hands, and walk right out of those doors. My prayer this morning is that you will turn in such a way that your leaving won't be the same. In other words, you won't leave the same way you came in. If there is someone here today who does not know Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, He can take your life and change you in such a way that you'll never be the same again. The doors of the church are now open, and the prayer rails or the altar is open, and you can also come and receive Holy Communion. But if there is someone today who would like to join and enter the life of the church, I'm going to be standing here waiting for you. as we say in the old church, come give the preacher your hand, but give God your heart. At this time, will you bow with me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank you so much for the richness of your word. We thank you, O Lord, for you remind us in the Holy Scriptures that we are the salt of the world. We are the light of the world. May we go forth as your salt and as your light. Touch hearts and minds right now. And those who don't know you, lead them, O Lord, to you in a special way. Now, O God, be with us. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.